I want to get your reaction to a short clip, and then from there you can give me give us your thoughts. Sure. And we can drive some benefit, hopefully, inshallah.
Doing, champ?
I'm doing okay. You know, I ain't doing nothing but living life. You know, I live a great life, lavish life. Keep a pocket, definitely keep a pocket full of money, as you can see.
If you had a sit down, you had an opportunity to talk to someone like this, a Floyd Money Mayweather, or someone famous like that. What kind of things? What would you tell them?
This is the D.
Assalamu alaikum. Welcome to the Dean Show. Greetings of peace. And I'm going to wish the Sheikh who's with me, guess who's with us, reuniting after such a long time, Sheikh Ibrahim Zidane. How are you, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum.
How are you, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah. Inshallah.
Traveling all over the place, huh?
Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy and accept. Amen. So you're looking good too.
You too, mashallah. May Allah bless you and continue to preserve you. Allah. Doing some wonderful work out there. Let's start off with, so how you been in general? Everything is good?
Alhamdulillah, everything is good, mashallah.
Yeah.
Getting older.
You know what, let's start off with that, because obviously from the time we've seen each other, it's been over a couple years at least, right?
Right.
And last time we got together, we spoke about a topic that it's encouraged for us to talk about. We talk about death. Have you had any, I've had some family that's passed. Have you had any stories that have touched you or some events in your life that can bring some benefit to us that relates around this topic?
Alhamdulillah, there are many actually. The more we live, this subject of death becomes, part of it is from the revelation from Allah, it's clear, and we're encouraged to increase and frequently mention death. And the more we live, we see it happening around us, and we're all heading towards this reality of this life. So yes, I've seen many cases. I don't want to say many, but you know, when it comes to something that I've seen myself, where people I've met, you live with, you go to the masjid with, and something happens and they die. Good ending sometimes, bad ending, Allah knows best. So may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us steadfastness. But this is reality now.
Do you know my uncle? You probably do. He would always be at the Jummah khutbah on Fridays. You were the imam for some time. Dr.
Yes.
Hashim Kosovich.
Yes, I know him very well.
Yeah. Not too long ago, it was a shock to all of us. He didn't let really anybody know that he had stomach cancer. And not too long ago, it's been a few months that he passed away. May Allah grant him Jannah. That was a shock to all of us, because he was someone who was healthy. He was someone who took care of himself. He was tying his camel, as we say, to take care of everything on his side. But he got hit with this stomach cancer, and it was a shock to all of us. And it just happened so quickly. And it was one of those things, it was one of those things that it hit so close to home when it happened that it left me, you know, someone might die that you know of, but it's not that close to home. Mm-hmm. And you might be following the funeral to the graveyard or whatnot, and you see that and it kind of touches home. But when it's someone really close to you, this feeling just lasted in me for some time. It was just like the reality was... It was like it was something that I could feel more. It was very scary. It was a scary feeling, because you know, like, okay, that's me next. You lost someone that was really close to you. It was the closest person to me that has died so far, thus far. It was very scary. Do you know that feeling? It was very scary.
Right. And that's why this is something that it is sufficient for us to see that in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. And the way that Allah gave us the ability to think. That we as human beings, the major difference between us and the rest of the creation of Allah is that we have the ability to think of what's coming ahead. That's what makes us intellectual, really. And what's coming ahead is basically death that takes a person from this life to the hereafter. And most of the people are heedless. They want to keep on intoxicating themselves and to have the joy of the moment. But the fact of the matter is, as one of the early generations of Islam, Sufyan al-Thawri, he said, that if you're ghafil, if you're forgetful and heedless, فَلَسْتَ بِمَغْفُولٍ عَنْكَ, you are not being treated with heedlessness. Things would not change. Like someone, the exam is coming, and he doesn't want to take the burden of studying the exam, so he just enjoys life and don't study. Well, whether he's heedless or not, the exam is coming. So it's not going to change anything if you're enjoying yourself and partying and so on. Death is coming. It's not going to delay it. So better than to face the reality of it and to prepare ourselves for it. And every day is a reminder for us, we're getting closer. So the real happiness, which is, as when we're talking about death, it's the most fearful thing for anyone that is alive. But that most fearful moment becomes the most joyful one if a person receives the glad tidings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at that moment of death.
At that moment of death, right. Is that where, how would you, because that's what you're expert on, the exegesis of the Quran, the tafsir, and where Allah talks about those who believe in Him, and that when death comes, they will have no worry or grief will be upon them?
Right. This is a verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهُ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. That those who say, our Lord is Allah, and then they were steadfast upon the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the angels come to them, meaning at the moment of death, أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا, with two things. Don't fear of what's coming ahead, which this is what comes into the mind when we think about death, and don't have grief of what you're leaving behind, your family, your children, whatever there is. So they would give them the glad tidings, and they would say that we are the ones that support you and so on, and they would give them the glad tidings of Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ explaining this, he said that the meaning of which, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنِ, the believer, and that's for the believer, when he dies and he sees good that he receives the glad tidings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he doesn't want to come back to this world anymore. So this life that we're so much attached to, and when we think about death, it scares us. The moment of death for the believer receiving the glad tidings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want to come back except the martyr. The martyr is the only one that wants to come back so that he's martyred again because of the great honor that he receives. So the most fearful moment becomes the most joyful one. A person wants to go forward. He doesn't want to go back to his family, to his children, and all of this, as long as he was a believer and being steadfast on the deen of Allah. So instead of being worried about death and talking about it in a sad way, we just need to face the reality of it. This is how life is. And to be serious in this life, life is a very serious one. It's not a joke. To be serious, to be obedient to Allah, to do what is right, to fulfill the rights of others, our families, our children, to convey the truth, to be patient, till the moment of death comes, and therefore a person would receive what is good.
Why do you think it is that people have the wrong impression when you do bring up death, that people, they think, okay, if you talk about death, it's just something so gloomy, it's gloom, it's doom, it's like, I don't want to hear about it. Either someone will make a joke, they'll get kind of really uncomfortable, and they'll change the subject. And even some Muslims, like when you say you bring it up, they're like, come on, you're messing up my mood. Uh-huh. Should that be the attitude?
Definitely not, because again, this is why people are just putting things off when it's coming towards them. It's like, again, you're a person sitting by the train track and the train is coming, and he doesn't want to face the reality that it's coming. It's going to hit you. So this is why, as Muslims, we were ordered in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ to be real. And death, the subject of death, should not make us miserable, should actually make us have more reality to this life, to have the real happiness in it. If a person frequently remembers death, he would, the things that really enjoyable in this life, he will enjoy it, which is the obedience of Allah. Even the permissible acts, the things that people enjoy as human beings, will enjoy it if we do it for the sake of Allah, without committing sins and disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even mentioned death in the context of verses that talks about the favors of Allah, as if death is a favor of Allah for some individuals, if they understand death in the proper way, as mentioned also before. In Surah Al-Rahman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in it many verses, فَبِأَيِّ أَلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ, which one of the favors of Allah would you deny? So it talks about the favors of Allah. But within the surah, it says, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ, each and everyone on it, meaning on the face of earth, will vanish, will die. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, and only the face of your Lord will stay, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is al-hay. He's the ever-living. Everybody will die. So this is mentioned in the context of verses talking about the favors of Allah. So for the believers, and it's only for the believers, it's a favor from Allah when they depart from the miseries of this life to the everlasting joy. And that's also the Prophet ﷺ said that when a janazah passed by, and he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, the meaning of which, either this is something, imma mustarih or mustarahum min, either he is relaxing, he's comfortable, or the world is relaxed as a result of his death, because he was someone that is spreading corruption and so on. So either or. So therefore the believers, they go to the comfort zone. after their death, they don't wish for it, of course, because this is against our innate and our nature. But when it happens, if they were believers and steadfast upon the deen of Allah and repented to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will go to the real comfort, not this life. This life is not a comfortable thing for them.
This statement, have you heard it, and what is it, how would you explain it, where people will often hear it said that people are asleep, they're sleeping in this life until death comes, then they awake.
Right. This is a true statement that actually some of the early generations of Islam, they mentioned this. People are in ghafla, they are asleep. They're intoxicating themselves.
So is it a kind of a, like a spiritual sleep?
It's the sleep where a person is not aware of what's coming ahead.
Okay.
And people, when they think of death, as you said, it's something gloomy, as if it's not real. It's the opposite. People would see that this life was a delusion.
Mm.
And when the moment of death comes, it's more real than this life. It's more real and clear than the fact that we're sitting and looking at each other and talking. Death is not something cloudy or not something that is not clear. It's so just some souls and things like this that people... No, this is more reality than the fact that we're living and eating and tasting and so on. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, in Surah Qaf, that when death comes, وَجَاءَتْ سَكْرَةُ الْمَوْتِ بِالْحَقِّ ذَلِكَ مَا كُنْتَ مِنُ تَحِيدٍ. When the stubborn or the stupor of death comes, the miseries and the agonies of death comes, this is what you used to avoid in your life. And then it says, فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٍ. Your cover will be lifted and your eyesight will be... Hadid is like iron. That means your eyesight will be as nothing before. It's more reality, more awakening than anything else.
Wow. So then we're working to be awake. A person who is using his logic, knowing that everything is deteriorating, and the human being, I mean, we've spent some time apart, and you can just, you mentioned, you know, the amount of people that have died just every day that that are in this life, we're in this life, they're going somewhere. And Islam gives you the blueprint and tells us, have you come across any other way of life that goes over the details from when the angel of death comes to when death comes to what goes on after that? Everything is laid out, because that would be unjust if the Creator didn't tell us these things, but He's warned us, He's given us the answers to the test. I have not come across, and I'm a student of comparative religion, looking at the other religions and for the sake of da'wah, but have you come across anything other than Islam that lays out such a detailed explanation of the details of death and the hereafter?
Right. There's no such a thing as the you would find in the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ that makes it really very clear. And it is very something that...
As we find in the verbatim word of God, the Quran and the... Right. And the from the Prophet Muhammad's example, no?
Right, and there's nothing the like
no.
of it. Because this is the final revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the most comprehensive.
Yeah.
And anything that we need to know from the hereafter that would make our life according to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us, you would find it explained in so much details.
Yeah. Have you ever heard this argument? Someone says, I'll deal with it when it happens.
Hmm. Well, this is maybe can work in matters of this world that we live in. And sometimes it's true, when a person is concerning himself about something, there is no need for him to be concerned about it now. Worldly things, materialistic things. But when it comes to the purpose of our life, right, there's no such a thing as I'll deal with it later. Later meaning in this, in the hereafter, there's no actions to be done. It's only hisab, reckoning.
Mm.
And today is actions and there's no reckoning. There's no punishment yet or reward in this life. So when the moment of death comes, the person would wish to come back to fix what he made of mistakes, but it's too late. And that's also mentioned in the Quran, so that nobody would regret. The regret is already explained in the Quran. Some verses in the Quran, when you recite them, that talks about person dying, and you would say, Rabbi irji'un, oh my Lord, let me return back. You would feel, when you're reflecting upon these verses, you put yourself in that situation, so you feel regretful, as if you are in that situation. So you would face the reality that it's not there yet, so let me do something before I regret. So the Quran gives us clear instructions and ways so that we do not regret. We were discussing in the masjid today and for the past few days, Surah At-Taghabun. Surah At-Taghabun, At-Taghabun means the loss and gain that people have in their buying and selling. Imagine someone, a child has a diamond, the most expensive one. He would go to sell it for a candy bar. He doesn't know the value of it. So if someone exchanged something very valuable for something that has no value whatsoever, he would feel that great loss. People will be like this in the hereafter. when they see that the matter was so easy for them to receive the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was so easy to be obedient to Allah, but they wasted it for what? For temporary joy that it's not really joy. The believers are more joyful actually in this life than those who are intoxicating themselves in it.
There's a lot of distractions out there, and there's one distraction that's distracting a lot of people, and it's kind of like people almost taking this material thing as a god in and of itself. I want to get your reaction to a short clip, and then from there you can give us your thoughts. And we can drive some benefit, hopefully, inshallah.
Doing, champ?
I'm doing okay. You know, I ain't doing nothing but living life. You know, I live a great life, lavish life. Keep
come
a
back,
definitely keep a pocket full of money, as
oh
you can see.
God.
What's up, TMZ? The Mayweather zone, the money zone, whatever y'all want to talk about.
Speaking
Let's
about
talk about it.
Speaking about that money. So
now, that's a stash right there. Take a picture of my face. Look, this is my face. That's a stash, nigga. All right.
Today we see a lot of this flash, we see a lot of this bling bling, and people seem to be hypnotized by the money. So how do we find a balance where what's Islam's view on money, and how does Islam approach this when you take it too far that it kind of blinds you to this reality that we're talking about?
See, the religion of Islam speaks to our fitrah, to our pure nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us with. And people sometimes they take themselves away from this pure fitrah. Our pure fitrah would say clearly that, again, this is all something that is not going to be forever. The deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions wealth and so on, and this is something important in life. And there are many verses in the Quran that talks about the importance of it. But put it in the right perspective. Is it a mean or a goal? The goal is, the purpose of our life is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And the mean to achieve that, one of which is money and wealth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran that we are greedy. So we know that as a fact. So we need to overcome this greed by giving a small portion of it, which is the mandatory, like the zakah, for example, to give it for the sake of Allah and to help the needy and the poor, and to understand that this wealth can be either a mean for the person to the hellfire or to the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether a person spend it in something that is spreading corruption on the face of earth or something that is good. And at the same time, not to be enslaved to it. It brings all kinds of misery. Prophet ﷺ, as he referred to this hadith, he said, Ta'isa abdul dirham, ta'isa abdul dinar, ta'isa abdul qatifa, ta'isa abdul khamil. Ta'is means that he is miserable. The one that is a slave of dirham, like the money, cash money, whatever there is. The slave of the cloth. And the slave of different types of wealth, whether it's gold, silver, whatever.
Cloth would be like the material. Fashion or anything that
right.
Could be qualified.
Right, and that's why we can add to this anyone that is a slave to any materialistic things. The Prophet ﷺ was not mentioning it as a way to say this is the only things, but as an example of the materialistic things of this world. And then he said, Ta'isa wa antakas wa idha shika falandukhish, which means he's miserable and he's always inverted. He's not upright. He sees things not in the right way. Because this had, as you said, hypnotized the person, not able to see what is right and what is wrong because of the desire to this. And he said that if he is harmed, the smallest harm, he becomes really miserable because this is what he's worshipping basically. But if a person takes it as a mean, and we know that this life, there's ups and downs. And some people, they at certain moments of their life, they're very rich. And then what happens to them if they become very poor? They'll commit suicide. You know, this is a sign that this is not the right way to deal with wealth and so on. Many people, I was sitting with a brother this morning. He had a good job and so on and so forth. And then all of a sudden, he doesn't have anything. Mm-hmm. And he's not feeling happy, which is a normal thing. But when you look at it with your own fitrah and nature, and you look into the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ and the verses of the Quran, who said that you will be guaranteed to have a good life materialistically? All of your entire life, this, as they say, ad-dunya jubilat ala qadar. This dunya, this world, is based on qadar, meaning it's not something comfortable. You always have to have ups and downs. Mm-hmm. So this is you already know the reality of this life. So why make yourself heedless of this?
Yeah. So what is your reaction? Because this individual is probably one of the most popular people out there that a lot of youth follow. And you'll see people like this really showing off the extravagant lifestyle. So how do you qualify? Because it's not just, let's say, if you worship a human being, for example, like Jesus, if you worship a saint, if you worship anything in creation other than the Creator, that would be associating partners to God. This would be like buying you or free, giving you a free ticket to the hellfire, correct?
Right.
Now, money, how does that, or living the lavish lifestyle, would that qualify you? Because we do like nicer things, but what's the fine line that you don't transgress that limit and make money into your God, where you become a slave to it?
Right. The guidance to this is in the Quran and in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. It's explained clearly in the Quran in the example of Qarun. Qarun was from the family of Musa ﷺ. He was given wealth that the Quran explained it in such a way that the strong among men, they are not able to carry the keys of his treasures.
Mm.
The keys. You know, keys, usually one key can carry so much treasure. The keys are the treasure. The strong men cannot carry even the keys. So you can imagine how much wealthy he was. And with regards to this Qarun, the people, they split into two groups, which what we see today. The Quran is something that as if it's revealed today for the people, those who are living today. So the Quran says when Qarun came out onto his people, what did the people say? The foolish ones, the masses of the people, they said, يَا لَيْتَ لَنَا مِثْلَ مَا أُوتِيَ قَارُونَ إِنَّهُ لَذُو حَظٍ عَظِيمٍ. They said, we wish we have what Qarun has, because indeed he has a great fortune. This is what most people are. They get their hearts attached to this. They wish they have the like of it. And they would imitate these types of individuals. The other group of people, the people of knowledge. قَالَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ وَإِلَكُمْ ثَوَابُ اللَّهِ خَيْرٌ لِمَنْ آمَنُ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. They said to the people of knowledge, and it's mentioned in the Quran, the people of knowledge specifically. They said, woe to you. What the thawab and the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is better for you if you believe and do righteous good deeds. وَلَا يُلَقَّهَا إِلَّا الصَّابِرُونَ. And only the patient ones would have this and achieve this. But then the story takes us to the end of it, because we're trapped to the moments where this is at the utmost level of excitement in there. But then when we live longer, we'll see what happened after 50 years to that individual or this video. Things will be totally different. So the same thing happened to Qarun. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed him and destroyed his wealth. And the people, again, they said when they saw this, that they wish they knew the truth before. فَخَسَفْنَا بِهِ وَبِدَارِهِ الْأَرْضِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed him. And the people, they said, yeah, well, they woe, that they said they woe to us, or something more or less of the meaning, that they wish that they knew this. So always the people of knowledge, they know before things happens, because they know from the revelation from Allah. The rest of the people, if they don't listen to the matter, to the subject of knowledge and to the wahi of Allah, they will know it, but it might be too late when it already happens.
If you had a sit down, you had an opportunity to talk to someone like this, Floyd Money Mayweather, or someone famous like that, what kind of things, what would you tell them?
First of all, we need to have mercy inside of us, and we should not rush into being harsh, of course.
Yeah.
And we as Muslims, and as the Prophet ﷺ was sent as a mercy to mankind, we need to have that mercy in our hearts towards all humanity. Definitely would advise him with all kinds of sincerity and truthfulness and kindness that we as human beings would need to think, what is the purpose of all of this? Tawheed is the most important thing. If a person doesn't have the oneness of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, doesn't follow the Prophet ﷺ, what's goodness in this life? To make them understand that this is from Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that bestowed this favor upon you. And He's the owner of all things. And as a clear evidence, very simple one, that doesn't need too much intellect to know that when we die, we don't take any of this with us.
Mm-hmm.
So the one that gave us this is Allah. And when we depart, it all returned back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So to be grateful to Him, the one that gave you the health, the one that made you live on the face of earth, to be grateful to Him. And that is to worship Him alone and to put things in perspective. And remember what happened to those who were arrogant on the face of earth. Reading the stories about them. Are they still alive till today? Till their arrogance and their happiness and rejoicing over these things availed them or benefited them in any way or form? They got old and they died, or they get destroyed, or whatever there is. And at the end, nobody would wish to be in their position whatsoever. And that's why we always have to think of what's the end result. And this is where the hearts has to be attached to.
Now someone says, well, all you religions out there, you say the same thing. You know what I mean? I believe in God, but I'm going to follow my way. I'm going to do my thing. Is that acceptable?
Well, if it's acceptable, then this is basically attacking the essence that the creator of the heavens and the earth is the most wise. He won't leave his people like this, the creation of Allah, to be heedless. That's why he sent messengers and revealed books. And since he's the most wise, he won't leave things according to our own desires, because we know that our own desires is very deceiving. So that's why there is something for people to examine and to read the Quran, the final revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look and to reflect into what is this message of the Quran, which is basically something that a person would see that it fits his, again, his fitrah. We need to, you know, very importantly, that when people read, for example, the Quran, sometimes they have their own means of understanding, that they would judge the Quran according to their thinking and according to their background of knowledge and culture and so on. You know, we should invite people to read the Quran with being a human being. Leave all of these distractions in your life and be a human, the way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created you, with your fitrah, with your pure innate. And this, you would find that the Quran is addressing this, and you would see definitely the truth and not what you have already from your own distractions that you built over years. No, go back to as a simple human being, that you would find the common thing between us, all of us as human beings, whether you are in the jungles in Africa, for example, or in the Amazon, or you are the most sophisticated in some degrees. We are humans, and there is something that brings us all together. This is what we need to be in that level, so that we would see the reality of things without all of these distractions.
I think that's some beautiful advice. Purpose of life, everything has a purpose. Think about that, and then turn to the one who created life and seek the guidance. I mean, and not ascribe foolishness to the most wise, that he wouldn't create us and not have a purpose for us to live. I think it's simple, it's easy to understand.
Right.
Yeah.
And go back to your own self.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be distracted. Don't be tempted by the desires of this world. At the end of the day, when a person is alone, we cannot deceive ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the message of the Quran is. That's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he sent the messengers, and the messengers will say to the people, worship none but the one that created the heavens and the earth. We know for a fact that this is something that nobody can deny.
Yeah.
And if they deny with their speech, they are basically lying to themselves. They're covering their own pure innate that is inside, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from them.
Now, we covered the a lot of the spiritual, I call it the STDs, the spiritually transmitted diseases that affect us, and we're given the cure for that. Now there's another thing we'll touch upon before we conclude, what's also affected us. When you look at the staggering, mind-blowing statistics, to the second most greatest blessing from the Creator is our health. And you see, for instance, Sheikh, and we'll get your thoughts on this, where they're estimating about 100 million people in America today are either pre-diabetic or they have diabetes. You have 1 in 2 Americans has a chronic disease. That's half of America. 1 in 3 have multiple chronic diseases. 1 in 2 men, or 1 in 2 females, and 1 in 3 males are expected to have cancer. And this is what hit my uncle, and it's something that's hitting. Look, 50% of people expected to have cancer amongst men, and then 1 in 3, I believe, in women, or it's the opposite way around. 30% of kids have chronic diseases. These are kids, and this is the first generation of kids that are not expected to outlive their parents. So with all these staggering statistics, many doctors I've spoken to, holistic doctors, people, you know, pioneers in this avenue, they are linking the majority of this, 95%, they say, to the food. So how do you, when you look at, for instance, the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth, is saying to eat of the good food, the tahibat.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of goes over a lot of people's heads. Like, is it free, where Shaitan has until the end of time, right, to take as many people mm-hmm. to the hellfire? Is this a means that's off limits? Is this the altering of the food, you know, the fake foods, the toxic foods, all of these things? What is Islam? How do we get into, you know, this is such an important topic, where we'll see so many Muslims affected by this also, because we're also in the general population, but nobody's really talking much about it.
Right. In Islam, if a person is in any form of a business or transaction, he is ordered to have the concern in his heart towards others. And one of the basic things that the companions of the Prophet ﷺ would give the pledge to the Prophet when they're becoming a Muslim is to have this nusha or this concern towards every single believer. Meaning, when we talk about the food and the alteration of it and all of these poisons in it, who made all of this? It's not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the human beings. It's the greed of the human beings.
Mm.
And that's what the cause of all corruption on the face of earth is, our sins, is the sins of the people, is the greed of the people. Money becomes the ultimate goal. The lives of the people is secondary, how much money I would make. And that's why you would find governments imposing certain rules and restrictions. Otherwise, if they leave it like that to the people, they don't mind to kill the entire country for them to make billions of dollars or whatever there is. So therefore, this is the corruption that happened to the human beings needs to be reformed again. And there's the only way to do that is to seek rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. And it is not easy to be concerned of others and to continue to be like that when a person is greedy, unless a person is doing things for the sake of Allah. So the only way out of this is to be upright and to be faithful and to seek rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by being kind to others. So if each and every individual is conscious about this, they won't intoxicate others. And that's why if this is not happening, then a person should do the best he can, that he can, to consistently be upon the taibat and the pure, and to be warned against the greed of the human beings.
Ibn al-Qayyim, the great scholar, in his work, I see him, it seemed like he was just way ahead of his time. He talked about so many relevant things, and he actually talked about health. He talked about the medicine from the sunnah. He talked about a lot of these things. One that sticks to mind, he was talking about when someone is granted this gift of health, how much that person should preserve it, how much they should protect it. You came across these statements from him.
Right.
And just creating awareness that many of us, we end up not thinking. So a person will indulge in alcohol, something that's clearly, haram. People will indulge in cigarettes, gorging, doing all sorts of, putting all sorts of junk in their body as if Allah created a garbage can, right? But it's not a garbage can. So, really helping people to wake up, to honor this gift that Allah has given us, that's going to get us through life. And is this a duty upon every Muslim,
right,
human being?
Right, especially when we always talk about the purpose of life. Everything has to fall in place with that purpose. What is the purpose? The purpose of our life is not to enjoy this life. That's not the purpose. And the purpose of life is not to keep on eating and accumulating wealth and so on. These are all means to fulfill the purpose, and that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. So if we look at food or whatever there is, or our health, that this is a mean for us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, things will be different. Our perspective to things will be different. I remember a few weeks back, I was with one of the scholars and we were visiting a sick person, and they were discussing, and he has cancer and it's very terminal and so on. So they were discussing whether he should do radiotherapy or not. And the Sheikh mentioned very interesting statement, regardless of whether this to be done or not, but he mentioned that if we can take the means according to the knowledge that we have, for that brother or for that person to make more dhikr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be aware of things around him, so that would help him to make dhikr, make istighfar for whatever days left in his life, it's a good thing. So the concern is the goal of this life. So even when we look into medicine and things like this, is it going to improve my health? For what reason? Why I want to be healthy?
Mm-hmm.
The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he would go visit a sick, he would make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that sick. One of the interesting dua that he would say, Allahumma shfi abdaka fulan, or Allah cure your slave so and so, and he would mention his name. For what reason? Yanka'u laka adu wa yamshi laka ila fi salah, so that he would defeat his enemy and he would walk to the salah for your sake. That's why we want him to be healthy, not to be healthy and spend more years in following his desires and being sinful, but rather to use this health to go to the masjid, to make salah, to make the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala superior. And that's the benefit of health. Otherwise, it becomes against the person.
I remember you told me, so the deen doesn't leave anything out. It actually addresses many of these things. I remember you telling me years ago, it still stuck with me to today. You mentioned a hadith where a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and I was amazed. He said, "I feel tired, O Messenger of Allah." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him to go run, go running. Right. You remember that?
Right, this hadith in Muslim Ahmad, and the salan, to go is like something between running and walking, like jogging. And they used to complain to the Prophet ﷺ that it makes they feel lazy or tired. He told them to do this.
And it's known that you do. It's from running, it helps to... people call it the runner's high. When you're running, and then it helps to
physical get exercise, your energy up. Actually, there is people of knowledge where they compiled the subject of 40 hadith because of the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that whoever compiles 40 hadith for the people, like the 40 hadith of Imam Nawawi and others. So some of them, they mentioned even 40 hadith in physical exercise, that from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, to encourage the person to be physically active for the purpose of preserving one's health.
Now, when we go back, before we conclude this, when we say tayyibat, what would be the proper translation? Can we say, okay, this is halal, pure, good, real food?
We can say that, yes, of course, because at-tayyibat, and at-tayyib is something that is pure.
Yes.
Something that has no filth in it, in this essence of no sins, and no filth, no impurities. Nothing would serve the opposite of what the food is for. Mm-hmm. So anything that negates the purity of at-tayyibat, it's something that a person should stay away from. Whether it's in the haram sense or something that is, if not haram, but still a person has to be very careful of what his intakes are, has to be pure, that benefits him physically and spiritually and everything, and not the opposite.
I get amazed when I talk to a lot of these holistic doctors or nutritionists who really study food, and they talk about how food can actually be a healing for the body. It's like a medicine. Yeah. And you had famous people from the past talk about let food be your medicine and medicine be your food, but then you answer the question that anything that Allah created, when you offset that balance, that stuff that's killing the people is not the stuff Allah created, it's the people who have put the chemicals, modified it, changed it, and the greed that's motivated people. This is what's messing people up.
Right. And even the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever eats something haram and any flesh that grows from the haram, the hellfire will take care of it. Ibn al-Qayyim and others, when they talked about this, they said when your body grows from haram, that portion that grew from haram is evil, is impure. It will be punished in hellfire unless a person repents to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he mentioned something interesting. He said that means there's something physical. This growth physically is not a good growth because of the haram that a person would take inside. So this is something for people even to check themselves. You know, there is something physical wrong in the growth of a person if his intakes are wrong.
If what he's, as far as...
For haram, matters that are haram. Yeah. And of course, anything else also that would undermine the purpose of this life.
Yes. Shay, I want to thank you for finding the time to be with us. So much we'd love to talk more about with you. Hopefully, inshallah, we can have you back. Any last advice for the people tuning in to the Deen Show that you like to give?
Well, my advice to myself and everyone is, as we see, time is going, and we need to be steadfast on the Deen and don't be distracted. And sometimes it's important, and especially in the life that we live in with all of these distractions, to be silent unless proven otherwise. Don't do things that a person would regret it later, but rather to focus on the most important things: our Deen, our Aqeedah, our belief, our prayers, to give charity, to be kind. The basic things in matters of the Deen, we need to keep on being firm upon it. And that, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, would help the person to reach his final destination in good, inshallah.
Jazakallah.
Jazakallah khair.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa ta'ala.
And thank you guys for tuning in. We covered a lot. And we started off, and we'll end with, the remembrance of the destroyer of all pleasures. So you can flaunt that money and that lavish lifestyle. But as our guests so wonderfully explained, that's something that you're going to have to leave behind. It all stays behind. So get it right now and think, what's my purpose? Everything around me has a purpose, but I, the human being, don't have a purpose. And who's best to tell you your purpose than the one who created us for a noble purpose, the creator of the heavens and the earth? Hope that you like this episode. Subscribe if you haven't already, and tune in every week here to the Deen Show. Until next time, peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.